right. Are you ready for another dose of God, love, sex? It doesn't sound like it. Well, I'm glad that you've come out. This is week number two of our latest steamy series, and we've just been talking about relationships. And last week, we talked about how important it is that we guard our hearts, that we keep things right as we entered into this. We talked about a faithful attraction. We talked about some things that we need to be aware of and the opposite sex of what we should be looking for beyond just the physical appearance. We should be looking at for a godly person, someone that's pursuing the things of heaven, and even in our marriage relationships, we talked about looking back at those things that attracted us to that person to begin with. But this morning, as we pick up, we're going to be talking about perfect seasoning, and we're going to spice things up a little bit, because next week, you do not want to miss next week. That is part three of our series called Great Sex, and we're going to be talking about what the Bible says about great sex. I encourage you, don't invite your grandmother, and if she happens to be here, probably don't want to sit next to her. You may get a little uncomfortable, but we're going to be talking about what the Bible says about this. What God's, does the Bible talk about sex and great sex? Yes, it does. And if you didn't know that, come on out, invite some people, bring them out. This is one of those series that hopefully will just hit us right where we're at, right where we're living, and challenge us in some things that we can improve on, improve personally, improve in our relationships. And this morning, as we start off, I want to read a passage for us out of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. And it says this, Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven." There's a time for everything. There is a season for every activity under heaven. And we are studying the book of Solomon's Song of Songs, talking about Solomon and this Shulamite woman. And what they're doing, here they are, they're married, and they're looking back at what life was like before marriage. What were they thinking? What was going on? What were the attractions? What were they dealing with? What were they discovering? And as we pick up today, I'm going to be spending most of my time talking to my single friends this morning, but all of you married couples, don't lose heart, stay in this, because I know that this is going to, there's some things that you're going to be able to pull out from this, because as we talk about seasons before marriage, what you'll find out is that these same seasons that you should have experienced before marriage, they just seem to continue to cycle through all through life, all through marriage. And the first thing that we're going to look at as we talk about these seasons, as we look at Solomon and the Shulamite woman, as they're looking back, what was life like? The first thing that we're going to look at is that you will have a season of preparation. You will have a season of preparation. God always does a work of divine preparation as he readies us for what he has to come. He always does. Anytime God's preparing you for something new in him, something that he's drawing you to or leading you to, he will always do a divine work. He will always divinely move to prepare you for what he's leading you into. Moses, before he was able to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, God did a divine work of preparation in Moses' life in the wilderness. Joseph, God did a work of divine preparation in him in prison. He was in prison. David, God prepared David as a shepherd. We see even John the Baptist was sent to prepare the way for the coming Savior, for Jesus. Jesus was prepared as well. God did a divine work of preparation in him, over 30 years of preparation before he stepped into the ministry of deliverance and redeeming mankind. God always does a work of divine preparation before he ever leads you into something that he's guiding you to. And so it is with marriage. You know, marriage is a beautiful thing. Marriage is a holy thing. It is a godly thing. It is God ordained in Scripture. God has ordained that a man would leave his father and mother, and it says that he would cleave to his wife, husband and wife, male and female. God has ordained this beautiful partnership and covenant together between a man and a woman. And so if God's calling us to this beautiful thing, we need to know that, and those of us that are married know that, yeah, it's beautiful and it is God ordained, but there's some work that's involved in this thing called marriage. And I'm telling you, if you're not prepared for it, if you're not ready for it, if you haven't gone through the season of preparation, it's going to make that relationship that much more difficult. So here we go. Look at this with me. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. This is the Shulamite woman. She's looking back now, and she's discovering this season of preparation. Look what she says. She says, see, she says, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. One of the things that we see here as we talk about the season of preparation is one of the seasons that we see is winter. Winter is the season of preparation. Now, we're in that season right now, and we know that it's cold, it's difficult, it's you know, we're having to put layers on and cover up. Thank God, it broke a little bit over the last couple days, the sun came out, the snow's melting, but winter is a season of preparation, and the purpose for winter is that winter causes plants to deepen their roots, causes them to stabilize, that their roots will go down deeper into the ground. There's a preparation point where we're growing, we're maturing, we're becoming the person that is worth marrying. See, preparation is all about more of me being prepared than it is preparing, you know, helping me to see that other person. It's really the work is internal. And there's a preparation that goes on in us as we're maturing. The roots are going deeper during this winter season. You know, for those of you that are single right now and it seems like, you know, you're not in this relationship yet, you haven't found that person, you haven't discovered them yet, this is a time, and I want to encourage you, please, don't rush through this season prematurely. Don't push yourself through it. Don't cause yourself to advance through it. That's the next note. Don't rush into spring prematurely. Because there's something that God is doing in you as a person. And some of you are saying, it's been winter a long time. You know, when's it going to melt? When's the snow cap? When's this thing going to begin to you know, dissipate where I can begin to see? But just know this. Trust God. Just like we were singing this morning. You never let go, God. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. Even though it seems like there's no hope, it seems like, is this ever going to happen? Am I ever going to find this person? Know this, that God is preparing you, and he's maturing you, and he's driving those roots down deep, and he's getting you ready. And don't forsake this time. Do not, the Bible says, don't despise the day of small beginnings. And I would say this, do not despise the season of winter. Don't despise it. Spring comes, spring will come. And as you're pursuing God and pursuing heaven and allowing him to develop you, allowing those roots to go deep, he will prepare you for what he has ahead. When I was at Bible school, right after graduation, I think I told you the story. I began to date Stephanie when we first got to school. She came, I didn't know her before Bible school, and she's coming here from New Jersey, and I was from Western Pennsylvania, and we met in Oklahoma at Bible school the first week there, and she saw me and just, you know, couldn't keep her eyes off of me. You know how it is. And so we're progressing on through this thing, and we started dating, and we were dating for about a month and a half, and we both realized, you know what, we came here for something. God brought us, called us to go to Bible school because he was preparing us for something. And so we broke the relationship off and really didn't see each other, spent time with each other for almost 2 years. And right around graduation, God started kind of lining our paths back up again. And there was a season of winter that we went through because even as this relationship began to take hold and we realized this is something we're going to pursue each other here, that Stephanie had moved back here to New Jersey, and I was in Oklahoma still, and this was a long distance relationship. We had date night every Friday. Went, you know, I was doing some ministry stuff, would leave there and go home, and we're on the phone for a little while, and you know, I was writing poems to her, and I would, you know, read those poems. Guys, that's a good thing. You need to know that's a good day when you write this girl a poem. It works. It's a good thing. You need to mean it. Don't steal it, but write it. Don't use a line from Finding Nemo, by the way, just a little hint. But you're just, you know, there's a preparation, though, that was taking place, and here I am. I'm being developed. I'm discovering what, God, what am I supposed to be like? What is a man of God like in a relationship? And, you know, I was praying for her and praying, you know, that God would lead her and direct her steps and that he had, you know, a divine plan for her. But it was a season of preparation. And again, you can't rush it because I'll tell you this, even in a great marriage, even those of you that are married right now and marriage is good and you know that there's this winter still comes in marriage sometimes, right? You know that. That there's winter times and it's preparation. And I would say this, those of you that are married, if I could talk to you for a second. Some of you may have entered into winter. And there might be some things that you've just been really dealing with and struggling with. And I want to challenge us, not just to you, those that are that listen on the on our website. A lot of people go on and listen on iTunes that don't attend here. We're able to track that. I want to say to you that do not give up in winter. Do not throw in the towel in winter. Winter is a time, even in marriage, in relationships, where God is, again, driving the roots down deeper. And just like that series Habakkuk that we did, you know, talking about being in the dip, in those tough times where you're making a decision. We talked about making a spiritual decision if we're going to continue to pursue God. But I want to challenge you in this, in your relationship, in your marriage. Make that decision when it seems like it's at its lowest, that you're not going to go back to singledom, to being single again. You're not going to revert back, but you're going to stay in this and allow God to lead you through it, drive those roots down in, so that when it's time for spring to happen, that those buds that are on the branches will begin to blossom, and you'll see the life and the beauty that marriage can be. So I just challenge us. Know that there are seasons that come, but do not give up. Allow God to continue to develop you. So there's a season of preparation. There's a winter season in preparation, but also you may have a season of perfection. A season of perfection. You meet her. She's beautiful. She's your lovey-dovey, schmoopy, booky, googly bear. Whatever she is, she's perfect. There's nothing wrong with her. She's beautiful. And you look at him and he's just right. Mom, I found him. He's just perfect. He's so handsome. He's so nice. He's so good. Let me tell you this, this season of perfection, this is a season, and like all seasons, this too will pass. Let me just tell you right now. It is a season where everything just seems perfect, it seems right, and I want to look here in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Look what he says here. Listen, my lover, look. And she here again, the Shulamite woman's talking, she goes, here he comes, leaping across the mountains. It's kind of like he's just coming in. You're like, oh, there he is. Look what's going on here. Bounding over the hills, my lover is like a gazelle or a young stag. That's what Stephanie calls me, a stag. You know. look, there he stands behind our wall, gazing through the windows, peering through the lattice. He's either a peeping Tom or they're playing peekaboo, but we're going to go with the latter. There's a game that's playing here. They're engaging in this activity that it's a back and forth that's having. My lover spoke and said to me, arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come with me to the movies and to Panera. There's this season of perfection where everything is just seems right. And a lot of times in this season, many have thought that they were in love. You might be in the season of perfection thinking, I'm in love, I love him, I love her. Let me say this to you. You are not in love in this season. This is called, you're infatuated. There is an excitement. It's when you look at her and you get all tingly and things just, you know, this is a season of perfection where everything looks right. And I want to just tell us, there are three things during this season that you need to limit. So here you are, you found this person, this Mr. Right or Mrs. Right, Miss Beautiful, you found that person and you've come out of winter and there they are and the relationship has begun and they're perfect and it's right and you feel like you love this person, but there are three things that you need to limit in this season of emotions before they take you somewhere that you are not prepared to go. And what this part right here is to give you some boundaries and some guidelines. Because during the season of perfection where everything seems right, where when she just looks at you that certain way, or her hair goes back, when she throws her hair back like that, You know, and just the butterflies. You need to know that your emotions, if you're not careful, they'll lead you to a place you are not ready to go. So here's three things you need to limit. Number one, you need to limit your time. You need to limit your time. I want to challenge you. Do not abandon your life during this season. See, what marriage and relationships are about are not two people meet each other, they're attracted, and then their lives end as they know it. No more friends, no more hobbies, no more activities. You stop going to work, you start skipping, you know, days at work, no work, you stop going to school, you're late to school. What happens during this, see, the whole idea is not for two lives to end so that a new life can begin. Marriage relationships is about blending two people, two lives, two families together, not dissolving individuality to become a couple. And a lot of times this happens. You know, he's not allowed to have his friends anymore. She's not allowed to do what she likes to do anymore. They don't even, it's like kiss them all goodbye. Do not, I'm challenging you. They're in the season, limit your time. Do not abandon your life. What this time is to do is to invite that person into your life. Did you hear what I said? Invite them into it. Bring them, introduce them, let them meet your friends, let them experience time together, and vice versa. Go and meet her friends and her family. But do not abandon what you know to be life. Sure, there's going to be some adjustments, but we're not talking about marriage yet. We're talking about the season of perfection where everything just seems to be perfect and you're entering into this thing and you're growing into it. But again, it's not dissolving you, your identity, your individuality. It's learning to blend together. See, the reason why marriages sometimes struggle, one of the reasons is that people don't understand the difference between codependency and interdependency. Codependency means I can't be who I am without you. I'm dependent upon you for my identity, and if they're gone, what am I going to do? That is not marriage. See, there's a difference between codependency and interdependency, which means I'm independent, I'm dependent upon God, and I'm sharing who I am with another person. We're interdependent. We flow together, but we're still individuals. You're still a man. She's still a woman. You're interacting. You're dependent. There's a dependency, but it's first and foremost on God, and you're still individuals within the relationship. So you want to limit your time. The second thing you want to do is you want to limit your talk. Limit your talk. Don't use words that put too much pressure on your relationship. Do not speak prematurely. There's going to be plenty of times to say, I love you. There'll be plenty of time for it. During this season of perfection, this season of life, do not talk prematurely. You'll put undue pressure on the relationship. I remember when I was in high school, I think I was a junior, a sophomore or a junior, and I met this girl. She loved God. She carried a Bible. I had a Bible. It was destiny. It was, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it was like it, this. She was the one. And I was a sophomore in high school. And I remember everything was cool. It was all good. And all of a sudden, one day, I said the worst thing ever. I told her I loved her. Because, I mean, I felt good. This is good. She's pretty. You know, I'm all right. You know, this is good. And I said it, and it put an undue pressure on the relationship. And too many times we do that. We put pressure on and make things harder and more difficult than they need to be. So limit your talk. Limit what you say. Limit how you communicate. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be talking and communicating, but during this season, do not say, I love you, too soon. Do not put undue pressure on the relationship. And the third thing that we need to limit during this season is your touch. Can I say it again? Limit your touch. See, what happens is that during a time of perfection and you've met this person and you're spending time with them, see, your heart or your emotions will move you towards someone, and your hands, they want to follow. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, they want to follow the emotion, and so you've got to guard yourself against entering into something too soon. And so you need to limit your time, limit your talk, and limit your touch. You need to protect yourself. You need to protect her, and you need to protect him. You need to guard yourself. So we've got a season of preparation. We've got a season of perfection. And then we have a season of discovery. You may have this season, this winter time where you're, and again, you might be feel like you're spending too much time. We don't want to rush through it though. Don't move out of winter prematurely. Don't try to make something happen on your own. Allow God to direct your steps. But you're going to have this season of preparation. You're going to have the season of perfection, and you will have a season of discovery. Look what here it says in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 14. My dove in the clefts of the rock, in the hiding places on the mountainside. Show me your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Solomon is saying to the Shulamite woman that I want to get to know you. I want to discover what you're like. This is not on the first date. This is not on Facebook or MySpace. I've met this person. We're getting to know each other. We're going through these seasons where we see things beginning to move forward here. And now it's time to discover some things about this individual. What are they like? What do they know? And there's some things that you're going to need to talk about as you're progressing forward. Again, this is into the relationship a little bit. This isn't first date dialogue. But as you're spending time, maybe we're a few weeks into this, we're getting to know, is this somebody that I want to continue to pursue? Is this going anywhere? Is this, you know, what is this relationship about? And see, what dating is about is discovering, maybe not necessarily even who you're going to marry, but the type of person that you're good with, that you're compatible with. And that's why you want to guard against all this other stuff, because it's not necessary to learn that. And it just puts, again, undue pressure on you. It puts you in an environment that's not safe for you if you're going to pursue the standards of heaven. So here's some things you need to talk about. One of the things you need to talk about is your past. Now, again, we're into this thing. We're moving forward. This is somebody that I need to know a little bit more about this person before I commit more of myself to this person. And we're still not talking about physical commitment here. We're just talking about a relational or emotional commitment. So we're progressed a little bit. Some of the things you need to talk about, you do need to talk about your past. Physical, maybe some, even a little bit of your sexual past. And I want to give a warning here. I want to give a fair warning here. Because a lot of times what happens is, again, we share too much. I want to warn us here. Tell the truth. Let me say it again. Tell the truth. Do not let the relationship be built on a lie. Tell the truth without a lot of details, if you can do that. She doesn't, you know, need names. He doesn't need names. When he took his shirt off, he had this six-pack. Oh, my God. No, he doesn't need to hear that, especially if he's, you know, like me. I don't need to hear that. But there needs to be some talking about the past. What is your past like? Tell me a little bit about it. And again, without the details, without stirring some things up that bring more hurt and more pain or cause frustration, but there needs to be some things that are talked about. If there are some things that happened possibly to you as a child, that needs to be shared, not in detail, but some things need to be shared. So about your childhood, your past, what was your family like? Don't get me wrong, this is not first date material. This is into this a little bit. But at some point, there needs to be some discovery of each other before the relationship continues. Let me tell you this, do not go beyond, do not make a greater commitment to that person until you know this. And if somebody doesn't want to share their past with you, then don't go any further in the relationship. Okay? Just please heed my warning on this. If someone's not willing to be honest and open, as difficult as it might be, do not go any further in the relationship. Keep it where it's at. Do not allow it to progress. But there needs to be some things shared. And again, not a massive amount of details, but you need to share. Pasts need to be shared with each other. Because you need to know, number one, that your past should not limit your future. The limiting of your future, if your past is limited in your future, a lot of times it's because you're allowing it to. The greatest thing about sharing some of these things with that person in this stage is that you're going to find out, you're going to discover unconditional love like never before. And that's what this is about. But they need to know, and you need to know. There's a learning that needs to take place here. And I'm telling you, married couples, this needs to be happening. Relationships are built on trust. If there's not trust in the relationship, then the relationship doesn't even exist. They're built on trust. And if you can't trust that person enough to share, if you don't feel that they trust you enough to share, then there's not a depth to the relationship like there needs to be. So we're talking about our past, and then we're talking about our plans, our future, our vision, or our chazon, as the Bible calls it. This vision, our dreams. What is your life about? What are you dreaming about? What do you see your life is for? Why do you exist? Is there a call on your life? What have you dreamed about since you were a child? Why are you on this planet? Why has God brought you here? The Bible says that before you were even formed in your mother's womb, that God knew you and he called you by name, that there's a purpose for your life. You need to know what that is. And if you're in this season of relationship, you need to begin to share that with that other person. They need to know what your plans are, what your dreams are, what your values are. They need to know what your intentions and your plans are for children. If you want to have 6 kids and she doesn't even want to have any, then there's a little crossroad that we're at here. You see, this is discovery time. What do you believe about life? What do you believe about marriage? What's your calling? What's your purpose? So share some of these things. Share your talk about your past. Talk about your plans. What do you believe? You know, this is one of the things that if before you even get even that far further beyond this, part of the process of learning about each other is communicating. But I want to challenge you. You need, if you're thinking about marriage, if you're in that place where you're moving toward it, there needs to be some premarital counseling or discovery that takes place with someone that can consult for both of you, independent, looking from the outside in, and help you through this dialogue process. But bottom line is you need to talk, the season of discovery. Now, what's missing here? What's missing? I'll tell you what's missing. We don't see her crying, running home to mom. Mommy, he's so mean, but I love him. He's got such potential. You don't see that here. She's not doing that. There's not this, you know, crying all the time, hurting, you know, frustrated. There's not, you know, the breakup roller coaster. You know, the sitting there with her, she loves me, she loves me not. She loves me, she loves me not. There's not this up and down thing going on here. There's not relational funk happening here in the Song of Solomon. There's a stability that's taking place. And if there's more funk in your relationship than God's blessing, let me tell you this, stop bailing water and just jump out of the boat now. Abandon ship. Grab yourself one of those lifesavers and jump on out and doggy paddle over to some dry land. Get out. Run. Let me say it loudly. Run. Okay? If there's all that kind of funk now, and you're not married yet, run. Don't even put on, just don't put your jacket on, just go. Be like Joseph, I'm out, I'm gone. Get out. Because it's headed for disaster. Please heed the warning. Heed the warning. People that have been down the road before and are looking back saying, okay, if you go down that, the bridge is out. And you say, oh, the bridge isn't out, man. And they just came through there and they know the bridge is out. Why are you going down the road when the bridge is out? Listen to people. Heed counsel. Take advice. And I'm just telling you, if there's that much trouble and tears and frustration and there's more of that than God's blessing, see, relationships should bring a blessing. Yeah, there's work and there's things to work through, especially if you're talking about sharing your past and discovering someone's past, discovering someone's future and sharing your own. That's you know, there's some work in that, and there's some work of talking through some things that you might not be comfortable with. But there should be stability, though, and there should be grace, and there should be God's blessing. And let me say this, in all seasons, in all the seasons, whether it's preparation, whether it's perfection, whether it's discovery, whether you're not even in a relationship yet, whether you're before marriage, in pre-marriage, or you're already married, in all seasons, protect your purity. Protect your purity, no matter where you are. Look what he says. He says in Song of Solomon chapter 2:15, it says, catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards. Remember what the Shulamite woman said last week when she said, I spent all my time in the vineyard and never took care of my vineyard, talking about her physical body. This is exactly what Solomon is talking about. He says, it's catch the little foxes that ruin the vineyard, are vineyards that are in bloom. What the little foxes would do is they would go in and they would chew the buds off of the vine so that the vine couldn't produce its fruit. They would ruin the harvest. Here you've got winter preparation, all of this stuff's taking place and the roots are going deep and it's the plants preparing to be able to bear fruit, to be able to blossom, to be able to be beautiful. And what happens is that these little foxes that come in and begin to ruin the vineyard, these little foxes are sexual immorality, sexual impurity that begin to creep in and they ruin the harvest of a beautiful relationship. They destroy it. Even if you're engaged, I'm telling you, there's been too many relationships where couples have entered into to engaging in sex before that marriage day, outside of God's covenant. And there is, even though they're engaged, it's happened, and marriages start off on a broken foundation because the little foxes have crept in and have begun to steal the vine. God has designed that sort of sexual intimacy, that aspect for marriage, because it's the glue that keeps a marriage together. And outside of marriage, it's like if you were a chemist, and you know that certain properties and materials work together in certain environments. If you take them outside of those environments and try to bring them together, it can create an entirely different composition. It's totally different. And I'm telling you, according to Scripture, God is saying that outside of this covenant marriage relationship, if you try to bring the physical intimacy into it outside of marriage, you're ruining the foundation. And as Solomon says, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And the relationship will never bloom to the degree that God has called it to. You will ruin the harvest that he has for you. So we've got to examine some things. And ladies, let me challenge you. If he's pressing you sexually, if there's a press coming from him sexually, then let me say this, and let me say it clearly. He does not fear God's standards. And if he does not fear God's standards before marriage, he will not fear God's standards after. And men, let me talk to you right now clearly. Let me speak to you clearly, if I may. If you're struggling with fearing God's standards for sexual purity before marriage, marriage will not fix the dysfunction that you're dealing with right now. It will not. Do not think that marriage is a sexual purity life vest for you. It is not. And what you will do if you do not get control, as the Bible calls it, the fire, if you're not able to control the fire now, you will not be able to control it, marriage. Marriage will not give you the control over that fire that's burning. And so if you're struggling with that, please heed my voice. Get help now. Call somebody. Find somebody that you can trust and you can say, I need free. I need healing. I need help. Get it now, because marriage will not solve it. Marriage will not fix it. Please know that I love you. That's why I'm saying these things to you. I want the best for you. And there's too many guys that think, if I could just get married, if I could just get married. It doesn't fix it. It doesn't heal it. You need to guard and protect your purity. There's something about that leads us into marriage. There's something about keeping yourself pure before marriage that just, it leads to something that, a foundation that's strong, that enables you to handle what may come. And, you know, Stephanie and I were engaged for 11 months before we were married. And, you know, I'm going to share some things. I've got some practical tips for guarding purity for you right now. And I wanted to tell you that, you know, on our wedding night was the first time that Stephanie and I had sex together, our wedding night. We were engaged for 11 months. Now, I've learned some things since then that I would have done differently had I known them. And here's the first practical tip. you need to have some limits, so you need to inform others of your limits. What are you going to do? What are you not going to do? Not just that other person, but you need to have a friend, a confidant that's going to be able to ask you after date night, how are the limits? Did you stay within the limits? Did you cross the boundaries that you should not have? There needs to be some, we're talking about protecting this purity so that our marriage, our relationships can bloom to their fullest. Keep 4 feet on the floor. That's your feet and her feet on the floor. Faux on the flow, if I can say it like that. All 4 feet. That means when you're on the couch, there shouldn't be any laying down. You know, you're sitting there in shorts and, you know, she kind of, her leg comes off of you and your hand is like, ooh, that leg is smooth. That's one smooth leg. You know, yeah, you know, I don't have to go any further. All I'm saying is faux on the flow. Keep them on the floor, all right? Keep everything buttoned and zipped. Mm-hmm. Buttoned and zipped. These are good practical tips, just a little help for all of us. Married couples, you don't have to follow any of this unless there's other people in the room. Keep everything buttoned and zipped. And last one, avoid swapping spit. Avoid swapping spit. Now, Stephanie and I kissed before we were married. And I'll tell you this, that I was never tempted sexually until we kissed. And I'm not talking about, good night, honey. I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about, tonsil hockey, that whole thing going on. Yeah, we're big people in here. I was never tempted sexually until we kissed, because you are now face to face in an intimate position. And there's certain things, especially in men, because I'm a man, I'm not familiar with what it's like to, you know, feel like or be like a woman, because I'm not one, but I know what it is for a man. And if you throw coal in the fire, it's very difficult to put the fire out. So let me just challenge you on this. Guard your purity. Keep yourself clean. Ephesians 5:3, and we'll end with this. The Apostle Paul tells the Ephesian church, he says, but among you, there must not be even a hint, say hint, even a hint of it. Oh, I wonder. Not even a hint of sexual immorality. Some of the foxes could be, you know, and I'm going to, you know, could be soft porn, could be that Victoria's Secret catalog. Don't leave that laying around. You know, ladies, you go through the grocery store and you see on the magazine, 144 ways to drive him crazy sexually. It's 144 ways to open the door for the enemy to come into your relationship. We don't need counsel from the world. God gives us counsel, and there are so many great biblically based books to help in relationships. At you know, you can go Amazon.com, you can go to the Christian bookstore, you can shoot me an email. I've got a library full of books that I can suggest to you, things that will help you from a biblical basis so that purity can remain the foundation for the relationship. But we've got to guard ourselves from the little foxes that spoil the vine. R-rated movies, and you're watching two people having sex up on the screen. You see nudity in the movies. I'm telling you, a flea, even a hint, avoid it. Avoid it. If you know it's there, don't even watch it. I mean, I love movies. And I'm at Blockbuster, you know, I turn it over. If it's rated R, a lot of times don't even look unless it's, you know, certain things like, you know, it's just killing, like Braveheart, you know, and he goes into the room with a horse. I told you, like Braveheart, you know, and it crushes the guy's skull. Well, that's why it's rated R. Anyway. But we're talking about sexual immorality, sexual, you know, nudity, these things that are in the movies. If you look at it, there's any sexual explicit material in it, don't even rent it. Don't even bring it home. Don't even buy the magazine. Don't even get the book. Rip the pages out. Guard your life. Guard your heart. Guard your relationship. Guard your marriage. Keep yourself pure. And those of you that are struggling this morning with some of these things, struggling with the purity aspect of it, I want to just challenge us. Can I challenge you? Come clean this week, if I can say it like that. That doesn't mean that you're going to be able to fix everything this week, but you need to find someone. The Bible says that if we confess our sins to one another, that there's a purity and a healing that takes place.
that there's a strength and a life that begins to flow into us. One of the reasons that we stay struggled is because there's a cloud of deception over us. We deceive ourselves a lot of times. We hide things. And there's no way that you can experience God's best and his healing and his life if things are hidden. There must be something, a way to expose that struggle in your life to somebody that's trusted, that someone that's spiritually mature, that can help you. But come clean this week. Make some adjustments so that you can grow into the man or the woman of God that God's called you to be. And no matter what you've done, you might be hearing this message, you'll be thinking, oh, Jesus. That's exactly what you need to be saying right now. Jesus. Jesus, help me. There's nothing that you could have done. There's nothing that you could be tied up in right now that calling on the name of Jesus and surrendering to him, that he will not come in and fix and heal and redeem your life back from destruction.